Yeah, I would say that going forward, we are in a very interesting transition period right now. So if you look at back in late 2020, when Bitcoin surpassed the all-time high back then, which is $20,000, it went up. It got tripled within 4 months. It got tripled from October 2020 to February 2021. Just within that 4 months, the price got tripled. If this cycle is going to be similar, I'm not too sure. I don't have 100% conviction, but I have pretty high conviction that the history will rhyme, right?
Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. And on today's podcast, I am interviewing Felix Xu. He is from the ARPA Network and ZX Squared Capital. And today he is going to share his insights and his views on where the rest of 2024 is going. He is going to share his contrarian view on this whole crypto and blockchain and Web3 ecosystem. So let's hear from Felix. He has been a true blockchain native, crypto native, starting his journey in 2012 with Bitcoin. And today he has built a successful fund and a successful blockchain company. So let's learn from him what he's up to and where the market is going. Also, nothing mentioned in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. And if you enjoy this episode, please share it on your social media. With that out of the way, let's get into it. Hi, Felix. It's great to have you on the show. So looking forward to talking with you about this whole space, especially ZX Squared Capital, as well as ARPA. You have done so many interesting things in this space.
Thanks so much. It's my honor to be here and introduce ZX Squared Capital and also ARPA Network. Let's carry it away.
Yeah, that's great. So how did you, first of all, how did you get involved in crypto, Web3, blockchain, all this space?
Okay. Yeah. So I studied finance and information systems during college. I went to NYU. And it's cross-disciplined in general. And one of my professors at information technology class, he introduced us to Bitcoin back in 2012. It was early and we
that
didn't
is
pay attention.
Really hard.
Yeah. So I lost the wallet years ago. I was quite regret about it. And after I graduated, I worked at a hedge fund from 2014 to 2016. That was the second time I heard about Bitcoin, when it crashed in the late of 2014 and 2015. So the trader on the floor said that the thing is going to zero. And that was the second time I heard about it.
Yeah, was that the Mt. Gox era? The Mt. Gox thing came out and everything, and then it started crashing?
Yes, it was. Yeah, and that was the second time I heard it, and I didn't grab the chance to buy some Bitcoin with cheap. So the third time that I heard about Bitcoin was 2017. Because at that time, actually, I was working in Beijing at that time. Beijing is my hometown. And the blockchain as a service for enterprise solution was actually trendy at the time in China. I heard about Bitcoin again because that's like the cryptocurrency that built on top of the blockchain. It's the first blockchain, first cryptocurrency. And I was finally convinced in the later half of 2017, I bought Bitcoin. And later on, I quitted my job to start ARPA Network in early 2010.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, it's pretty much you've given like the history of crypto. Yes, 2017, I remember that time. A lot of enterprise that I met in San Francisco at that time, I was there in, at that time, late 2017 and early 2018. A lot of them were exploring blockchain for enterprise. They were exploring private blockchains, which never took on. And I remember on the retail or on the fun side, playing with CryptoKitties. I don't know if you even remember anything.
Yes,
like
of course.
That. Yes.
I have CryptoKitties.
I still have CryptoKitties. Yeah. And you are not alone. I know a person is a crypto native if they have lost money in crypto, as in they've forgotten their keys or they lost their wallet or they are so early, then everyone did that. Pretty much there is no one I know who's been early and hasn't lost considerable amount doing something like that. So you're doing the right things. Yeah, let's talk about ARPA Network. So what problems does ARPA Network solve?
Sure. Yeah, ARPA Network is the first project that I created. It's actually my first startup. What we do is threshold cryptography. Basically, like, we can shard the keys from the very beginning during the key generation process. And then there's a threshold of the group that can basically recover the keys together and sign and give like a one signature. Basically, the use cases are vast, including wallets, cross-chain bridges, and even like verifiable random number generator. What we do at ARPA Network is we provide the threshold cryptography service as a decentralized network to enable use cases like the ones that I mentioned above.
Oh, fantastic. Do you have any examples of any customers that are currently using or any people that are using and how they're using, or what's the most popular use case?
Of course. One major use case for us is the verifiable random number generator, right? So think about it, like, Bitcoin solves the problem of decentralizing the money, right? So there's no single point of failure who control the money in issuance whatsoever. And the problem that we try to solve is to remove the single point of failure of manipulating the randomness. So use cases include gaming, lotteries, community events, voting, etc. To give you some examples, Elysium is one of the games in on-chain games, and they use our random number generator to basically to decide the probability of the loot box, and also to decide the gameplay, and also to decide who wins, like the jackpot. And in that way, the randomness is very transparent and it's verifiable on chain, so everyone can get a fair chance for the gameplay.
Yeah, I know that this random number generator problem is, for anyone from computer science, they would appreciate it. It is really hard to build a truly random number generator. How do you guys do it?
Of course.
Do you guys use lava lamps?
And lava lamps. So the true randomness only exists in the nature, right? So people look at like the lava lamps or like the noise in the atmosphere or the noise in the chips, right? Like, true randomness only exists there. But for anything like in computer science, it's all pseudo-randoms. But yeah, for ARPA, right, for us, yes, what we try to solve is not using the true randomness. We also use pseudo-randomness. However, we try to verify if the algorithms run by the integrity of the algorithms, right? So if the pseudo-randomness is really run by the algorithms to be verified, can be verified on-chain.
Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah, because what I thought that whenever there is a random number generator, which is like pseudo-random, you could have enough processing power and decode and figure out what the next number would be. And that's why I've heard that, is it LavaRand or someone, or there's like all these companies that provide the lava lamps for, which are then decoded into a random number too, because there is randomness in motion in atmosphere or in different fluid dynamics or different things. So yeah, this is on-chain.
So the way that we can do it in a verifiable way is that we use threshold cryptography. So it's a cryptographic algorithms that basically we can verify the integrity of the algorithms, right? So every time when a group of decentralized nodes together runs through the threshold signature scheme process, then they will generate a proof that the algorithms is intact.
Oh, that's fantastic, because that does bring me to the other place where algorithms are used. They are used in trading or high frequency trading, because a lot of the trading done is not by human retail traders. Most of it, whether it is Forex or even stocks or definitely with crypto as well, a lot of it is done by algorithms. So can this be used even to verify those algorithms as well, theoretically?
Not that much. I think like these two things are quite different, to be honest. But then, okay, so in terms of the verifiable computation part, right? So basically we verify if the algorithms is intact, right? So yes, basically like there's a use case in the current AI industry, for example, to verify if like the AI model inference is intact, right? It's indeed run through the large language model or whatever language or whatever model it is. Right. So yes, that can also be one of the use cases for us to provide a verifiable computation service. I think that is the intersection between crypto and AI. Yeah. There.
Fantastic. what other trends are you seeing that you think will impact, apart from the AI and crypto, as in the intersection of AI and crypto? Are there any other key trends you are seeing that would impact ARPA network?
For us right now, just try to provide like special cryptography. Any use cases that can leverage the threshold cryptography, we try to go after these use cases. So random number generator is definitely one of the key sector that we build products and we serve the customers.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just thinking, because you are really early in crypto and you started building ARPA network in 2018. Is that right? How have you seen the not only the market conditions, but the whole ecosystem change since then, from 2016 to now? It's nearly 6 years, and 6 years is a very long time for crypto or Web3.
Yeah, of course. Wow. It's almost half of the whole history.
Yes.
It's crazy. Yeah, it changed a lot. Definitely the industry is getting more and more mature. I remember 6 years ago, people were talking about, that was two bull markets ago. Yes. So people were talking about if the institutional investors are getting into the market, if they are buying our bags, and it's happening now, right? So Bitcoin ETF got approved. And then I think BlackRock or Fidelity are saying that the portfolio should contain 1-3% of crypto, which is such a milestone that I could never think about back in 2018. And in terms of like the derivatives, on the derivative side, much more liquidity on the option market where ZX squared, what we are operating in. And also on the infrastructure side, we have layer twos, we have restaking, we have a lot of these parallel EVM, a lot of like exciting milestones happening right now in the Ethereum ecosystem. And Bitcoin and Solana are some other ecosystem that I look at. So I would say many things have evolved so much. That's the whole industry is very different 6 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. There's just so many new narratives in the industry. I feel like even just in 2024, DePIN or decentralized physical infrastructure and RWAs and ZK, all things ZK, you know, ZK bridges, ZK rollup, ZK. It's so hard to sometimes you feel like to even keep up with what everything happening in the industry. The other thing that you are working on is the ZX squared. I would love to learn a bit more about ZX squared as well. Can you please tell me a bit more about that fund?
Of course. Yeah. So actually, like the reason we founded ZX squared with my partners is that we were actually very early in DeFi yield farming back in 2020. Back in the days, it was very easy to get lucrative yield on chain. However, like 2021 and later stage of 2020, these yield actually faded and we couldn't get much yield on chain, right? So the industry volatility is still very high. So we shifted to looking for yield in the derivative markets, right? So that's how we found option market, Bitcoin, Ethereum options. The implied volatility was quite high. So that means like if we write or sell options, we can make good yield on the underlying. So with that thesis, in the middle of 2021, we actually founded ZX Squared Capital with another veteran from Wall Street who used to be the global head of valuation risk at one of the largest investment banks in the world. So together we founded ZX Squared Capital and we have been trading options since 2021.
Yep. That's 2021 was a good time to get in, but very hard time to stay in after that. How did you carry on through the slump of late 2022 and 2023?
Yeah, that was brutal. It's for the whole industry, including us, because even though we are very risk averse and so basically the whole idea is to hedge the volatility and earn the time value. So sell out of money call options is the core of the strategy. We have been doing that since 2021. So during the bear market, we actually protected quite well from the downside. However, when the industry was down 80%, our portfolio was also had some drawdown as well, but not nearly as much as compared to the whole market. Yeah.
That's fantastic. That is really good to hear. And what are you seeing in market currently? And also, that's part one of the question. Part two is, what's your, I don't know, not really prediction, but what do you see coming forward in the rest of 2024?
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, I would say that going forward, we are in a very interesting transition period right now.
Yeah.
So if you look at back in late 2020, when Bitcoin surpassed the all-time high back then, which is $20,000, it went up. It got tripled within 4 months. It got tripled from October 2020 to February 2021. Just within that 4 months, the price got tripled.
Yeah.
If this cycle is going to be similar, I'm not too sure, but I don't have 100% conviction, but I have pretty high conviction that the history will rhyme, right? So we probably got the accelerated bull market from now. That's my thesis for the next like 3 months.
That, I'm sure a lot of people would be very happy to hear your thesis. But I just want to say for anyone listening, of course, this is not investment advice. We are just talking about the trends and where we see what is it's happening in the market. Or of course, do your own research. Because there always is. Everyone talks about the Bitcoin halving, but I always felt like the Bitcoin halving, everyone knew about Bitcoin halving, everyone knows about it. So all that should be factored in. But then once again, humans are emotional creatures. And if they do see something rising, people do get the FOMO of jumping in. And that's why market behaves, how the market behaves. So it is very interesting. So what's your biggest challenge with ZX Squared, with running ZX Squared?
Sure. Yeah, we pay a lot attention to the risk, right? So not only the market risk, right? Not only like the downside risk, but also counterparty risk, like custody risk, all sorts of risk, right? So basically we actually came on board with one of the largest custodian provider in the industry after FTX crash. Right. So we realized that there's huge counterparty risk how we park the money. Yes. And now we use licensed regulated entity to basically do the custody for our Bitcoin and ETH. We also pay a lot of attention to, I would say that going forward, we are in a very interesting transition period right now.
Yeah.
So if you look at back in late 2020, when Bitcoin surpassed the all-time high back then, which is $20,000, it went up. It got tripled within 4 months. It got tripled from October 2020 to February 2021. Just within that 4 months, the price got tripled.
Yeah.
If this cycle is going to be similar, I'm not too sure, but I don't have 100% conviction, but I have pretty high conviction that the history will rhyme, right? Compliance. We are a registered investment manager, and we try to be as compliant as possible. There's no shortcut on that part.
Yeah, that is really good to hear that you pay so much attention to compliance and safety and security. Just yesterday, actually, I interviewed someone from the chief strategy officer from Komainu, which is like offshoot of Nomura, the Japanese investment bank, and Galaxy and Ledger, which is like a pretty much just a custodian of funds. But I do see that a lot of at institutional level, at corporate level, they would need custodians to look after their crypto as well as stake it with them. What about so far when you're talking about this security risk, or not risk, but paying attention to these side of things for running the infrastructure for a crypto fund? Do you run it in-house? Do you build yourself? Do you outsource that sort of thing? How does it work?
Do you mean like the trading infrastructure?
Yeah, the trading infrastructure.
Okay.
Software, yeah, side of things.
I see. Yeah, like we build it ourselves. We track more than 50 indicators. We also build our own proprietary indicators and signal systems. Look at all sorts of like data. Like for example, right now, I say the single most important data that everyone should track is the ETF inflow and outflow, right? But that indicator is lagging. It lagged for a day, and sometimes you just see the price trend before they publish data, right? So that's one thing. The other thing is like the stablecoin market cap, which is also very obvious. It's an indicator of how much money is within the crypto industry. Yeah, but other than that, we also look at a lot more in-depth and detailed indicators. And then we assign weights and we build our own signal systems.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. I'm getting so many good, really good insights into what you just shared, just how with a lot of VCs, they all look at the Electric Capital's developer report just to see where the developers are building, where they're building infrastructure, where they're building apps. So then, okay, if everyone's working on a certain network, then that network is going to have more apps and more adoption in future. It's a lagging indicator. It might take 2 years, but at least you get an idea of where the interest will be from retail end users, because that will have more apps and stuff. And similarly, you said what you said about the ETFs inflows and outflows and stablecoins makes so much sense. What is your view about stablecoins? Where do you see them going in 2024? Do you think there'll be a load more stablecoins? Their market cap isn't going to increase, decrease? Yeah, what's your view?
Mm-hmm. The stablecoin market is very competitive for sure. You with Ether taking the majority of, I think, more than 65% of the market share, and USDC Circle is the second best, right? I would say that the landscape is cannot easily be changed anytime soon, because Tether and Circle, both of them have their edge, right? So even though this market is very lucrative, think about how much Tether is making billions of dollars every day. Billions of dollars every quarter. However, it's very hard to replace, to build a new company and replace Tether.
Yeah, that is true. At one stage last year or some time ago, Circle started to really, or USDC really started to grow, and Tether's market cap started to be stagnant. But then after they had some sort of a scare or some event happened at some stage with USDC, that's when, since then, it hasn't grown as fast. That's what I felt like just looking at the market. But I do see that there will be a lot more stable coins, and it would be interesting to see how it fragments, or if it does or not doesn't fragment the space. Any views or opinion? This is completely random, but any views or opinion on CDBCs?
I don't know much about CDBCs, but I think it takes, like, the government usually are very slow, right? So even though decide to do CDBC, I think it's going to take at least 5 to 10 years for them to build it, to test it, and then to push it through to the market.
You are spot on, I think. Yes, because it is so complex. There's so much bureaucracy and everything that the retail, the individual side of things always moves so much faster. The innovation is so much faster. And it has been echoed by some other bankers and founders in this space as well. The same thing. What about, how do you find, I have two parts to this question. This is for both, for ARPA and for ZX Squared. For ARPA, how do you find users or companies to use your network? And same for your crypto fund. How do you find customers? What's been the best channel for you?
Of course. Yeah, for ARP, it's because it's a niche, right? So basically we want to find users for our product, for random number generator. So we usually go after games, on-chain games, and also some other projects like within our circle. So like most of these companies or our clients are crypto natives. Yes. So making it easy to reach out, at least for us. So that is on the ARPA side. For ZX Squared Capital, we mostly work with institutional investors, family offices, and like our net worth individuals to basically allocate their exposure into crypto and also like to trade options.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And then you manage it, your team manages it all for them. So for a family office and stuff, they would invest with ZX Squared. They don't need to look at and manage the strategies and algorithms, and you look after everything. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So basically we have a strategy, and then basically people invest into the strategies as LPs.
Cool. Since I have a bit more experience on the VC fund side of things, very new to the crypto fund side of things, So in the VC funds, they have fund one, fund two, and then once that's allocated, they go and raise another fund three. Does it work similarly in a crypto fund, or is it always like on a rolling basis?
I think for venture capital, like crypto venture capital is very similar to what you described. I think it's the same. Yes. But for us, because we are a liquid strategy, and it's very easy to get in and out from option positions, right? So we are using rolling base type of like fundraise process.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is there any minimum amount for any investor listing if they're interested for how much they can invest with your fund?
I would say we are quite selective on who we collaborate with, because the strategy itself, we are not trying to be very risk seeking. We are more on the risk averse side, right? Yes. Try to hedge from the potential downside. And also at the same time, we can get the premium, and also like we can basically still have our flexibility on adjusting the strike price or deploy with complex option strategies, right? So yeah, I would say that we only want to work with people that has same like long-term oriented views of crypto.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I just have a couple more questions. My next question is, what is your contrarian view or like a non-mainstream view when it comes to crypto funds, hedge funds, or this ecosystem?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. What's your sort of non-mainstream view or a contrarian view when it comes to the whole crypto funds or hedge funds or this investment ecosystem?
Mm-hmm. Contrarian view. Okay, that's a good question. I think a lot of, in our industry, crypto, many things are decided by the price itself, right? So usually you have the intrinsic value, and then you have price, right? Yes. However, in crypto, a lot of things are price discovery that leads to, or price going up, that leads to more people paying more attention to crypto, which doesn't do anything. Like, for example, Bitcoin, right? Yes. Bitcoin just to do less wrong, right? It's not like how correct Bitcoin is, right? It's just how wrong our government is, right? How much money our government is spending. So Bitcoin didn't do anything. Like, they just like that, stay that way and do less wrong. So it's very interesting for crypto is that sometimes price goes up and then people realize the fundamental side of Bitcoin. Yeah. And I think that is very different. Yeah.
That is so different. And I never thought of it like that. And I feel like that sometimes the price discovery or that side of thing leads to utility just because of the price. People get interested. And once they're interested, they go and build things in the space that then go and add utility to it. So that is a very unique way of thinking that I never thought. So yeah, thank you and well done for answering that question. My last question is that what's your ask? Is there anything you are looking for? Are you looking for, I don't know, investors, looking for hiring, anything? Feel free to share with the audience.
Of course. Yeah, we are always hiring for good software engineers, smart contract engineers. For ARPA Network, we have been proud Ethereum ecosystem builders since 2018, right? Our products. Yeah, it's live on multiple chains or layer twos on within the Ethereum ecosystem. And for the fund, you know, we accept investments as like limited partners. And then the risk profile is like we try to hedge excessive risk, but at the same time, we try to enjoy the bull run of this cycle. So yeah, put it that way.
Fantastic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share all the links for ARPA, for ZX Squared, and for your personal social media as well, so people can follow you and learn more about what you're building in this space. So thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.